Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Just shut your eyes, stay on your feet, and we're just going to pray. Thank you, Lord God. Heavenly Father, Father, we worship you and we honor you in this place. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would speak to every single one of us. Lord, let your word go forth. Let every heart be a hearing heart, an understanding heart. And Father, I pray for the work of your Spirit on the inside of every single one of us. Truly, you are the Father of all families. And before you, we bow our knees. We bend our wills to your will. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tuesday was awesome, wasn't it? And I'm still hearing about so many miracles. Sumi was sharing about her aunt who came. Paola, you need to hear about this. Her aunt who came from Norway with a very serious, we'll hear about it later, a very serious disease similar to lupus. And for the first time in years, after the time of prayer, was able to read. Could read the words. So God was doing so many miracles in this house, you know, and it's just the beginning. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's just the beginning. Hallelujah. Please, if you have your Bibles with you, will you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15? 1 Samuel chapter 15, and I'm going to start at verse 1. But as you're getting there, just any time I read about King Saul in the Old Testament, I always remind myself something. And I want to remind you this as well. You know, King Saul was God's chosen vessel. He was chosen. Say chosen. You know, God looked, the Bible said, for a man who he would raise up. You know, the people said, we want a king. So God said, all right, I'll give you a king. And he chose Saul to lead his people. And the word he gave to Saul is, you will lead my people to triumph over their enemies. So Saul was God's man. Say God's man. God's man. You know, and Saul had a wonderful future and wonderful things that God wanted to do in him and through him. And that's why, to me, this is a very sad story, the story we're going to read. And we're going to start reading. I'm going to jump about a bit just because of time. But I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, Samuel also said to Saul. So this is now Saul was king. He'd been king for a year or two. And then he got an instruction. The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Verse 7. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur. Verse 8. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, utterly destroyed the people. Verse 9, but Saul and the people spared the king and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were willing to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. For he's turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. It broke Samuel's heart. And he cried out all night long. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel. And indeed, he set up a monument to himself. And then verse 13, then Samuel went to Saul. And Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord, for I've performed the commandment of the Lord. Verse 18. But Samuel is responding and he says, but the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in his sight? And Saul said, but I did obey the voice of the Lord. And I went on the mission. And I brought back the king of Amalek. And I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, they took the sheep and oxen and the best of the things. So Samuel said, verse 22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the command of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. What a sad story. I want us to get a few things out of this passage that I believe will really speak into our lives. But I want to start by going back to verse 1. Because it's verse 1. It says, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people. Therefore, say therefore. Heed. Right. You see, why would we bother just making all that effort to say no to the flesh when the flesh is really crying out to get what it wants? Are you hearing me, or is it just me? Is it just me that wants to react when people have squashed me? You know, is it just me who occasionally just wants to go my own way? But you see, what Samuel is saying here to the king is, because of the anointing on your life, obey, heed the word of the Lord. Because of the gifts that God has given you, for the sake of your destiny, are you hearing me? For the sake of what you carry, for the sake of the lives that can be transformed through you, that really only you can reach. You know, there's many times when I want to do one thing, but I do something else, not because I'm feeling spiritual, amen, but because I know, do you know what? I've just got to obey. I've got to walk the straight and narrow because I want to fulfill the destiny that God's called me to fulfill. I want to fulfill my mandate. You see, he's saying, value the anointing. Turn to your neighbor and say, value what God values. You know, Saul had been anointed by God. And you know, every single one of us have an anointing. The Bible says it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are anointed. But you see, what we do with that determines whether God can fully get the return, really, on his investment in your life. You know, if we fully obey, fully follow, then God gets a greater return on his investment than if we kind of take it all a bit, oh, well, whatever will be, que sera, sera, whatever will be, you know, bit of schmutz here, but do you understand? You know, and that's, I want to encourage you to start to see and to believe God has anointed you. I say it very often. I say it when I preach around in other churches and ministries. One of the things I say very often is, you know how in movies you have the stars and then you have the extras. The extras don't even get paid. They just want to be in the film because, you know, it's their 5 minutes of fame. You know, and the extras are just there to make the film look good, to make it look real. But the extras, really, there's nothing about them. They're just there to make the real stars shine. Yeah? God made no extras. You are supposed to be, and forgive me for the way I'm going to put this, But hear my heart. You're supposed to be the star of the show of the life God has given you. What am I saying? Of course it's all about Jesus. But you're supposed to be the one who rises up in your life. You're supposed to be the prophet of your life. In other words, the one that speaks to your own circumstances, into your own life, and says, I'm not going to do what I want to do right now. I am going to speak obedience into my own life. Are you hearing me? You know, my husband shared at the half night and about our son. Oh gosh, I love Benj. What a blessing that boy is. Do you know, my 13-year-old son has just been invited on his first ministry trip. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, give Jesus glory. I've been invited to go back to Manchester again. Ronke's coming with me, but then I got contacted. And, you know, I think I must have shared that he's ministered in different places around the world. And they've asked him to come to minister to the children. So while I'm ministering at the conference over those 2 days, he's been given leave out of school to come with me. And he is going to be teaching the children. Hallelujah. And you see, I got an email about this boy that I love very much. And I've had a couple of emails about him recently. Because he goes to a school that's strict. And then he came home from school on Friday. And he just got in the car and said, the first thing he said, he's wise like that. Got in the car and he said, Mummy, I've been given an after-school detention. I said, what? And then he told me the story. He said, well, you see, I was fiddling with scissors during German. As you do. I was fiddling with some scissors during German, and as a result, the teacher gave me a break detention, and I forgot to go. And as a result of me forgetting to go, they've given me an after-school detention. Well, this school says 5 after-school detentions, and you cannot do sixth form there. They take it really seriously. So there are academic qualifications to get into sixth form, but there are also behavioural qualifications, which I thank God for. You know? I thank God. But you see, and I'm going to say 2 things about this story. You see, when I heard that, something inside me was just so saddened. And I just felt really upset. And then I got in a grump. Oh, no, you never get grumpy. You're far too spiritual. I was in a grump. And I just felt so grumpy. But I realized I've got to, I said to my husband, I said, look, I'm going to go have a bath. I need to reset myself. Turn to your neighbor and say, learn how to reset yourself. We had the half night of prayer coming up, and I knew I couldn't allow myself to stay in a foul grump. Are you hearing me? Because I want to obey the Lord. And the Bible says, have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Sometimes we think some things are about obedience. If you hear a loud voice saying, thou shalt go to the third house on the right and deliver this package. But then if you just don't do the rest of the stuff, like husbands love your wife. Is that allowed on Father's Day? Husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid himself down for her. And we think, well, do you know what? I don't really like that commandment. Is this all right today? And so I'm going to just love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, but I'll forget my nearest neighbor. You see, God wants obedience. He doesn't want me to refuse to submit to this man with a horrible, stubborn heart and then to come into the house and go, I surrender all. And God's thinking, you liar. Are you hearing me? Submit to him and then give me some praise and glory. You see, we call it a sacrifice of praise. Let me tell you why it's a sacrifice. Are you ready for this? Because it hurts to submit sometimes. This man asks me to do stuff I don't want to do. Are you hearing me? And he says, deliberately does it sometimes to just keep me. You know, I thank God he gave me a husband who knows how to yank my chain. And men who are married to strong women, learn how to yank your wife's chain. Hallelujah. And love them as Christ loves the church and gave his life up for her. Do you know why this man can yank my chain? Because he loves me. I've never doubted his love for me since the day he asked me out. Do you know how he asked me out? He didn't say, oh, hi, Joe. You know, do you want to go on a, you know, can I take you out for a meal? Do you know what he did? It was very sweet. I was standing outside my house. I was at Bible college at the time. We'd just been for something to eat. We were just getting to know each other. And he knew, and I knew. We'd both already heard God. And he walked over to me. I was standing saying bye, and he was walking off, and then he just turned around suddenly. Man on a mission. Walked straight up. Stand up, Bronke.
Why is she playing me?
I'm playing you. Walked straight up, and he said, Joe, I love you. With everything inside of me, I love you. And then he looked at me and he said, have I goofed? I said, no. He gave me the sweetest little peck on the cheek. And then I went in my front door. You know, it's at home where we have to obey God. It's at home where the rubber hits the road. It's when work finishes and that really handsome-looking guy says, fancy a drink? And you're going, but it doesn't say in Ephesians 3, do not have a drink with that real hunk. Are you hearing me? You know, and neither does it say in the school book, don't play with scissors. Are you hearing me? It's about wisdom. It's about doing what we know is right to do. Are you hearing me? You have an inner voice. And you and I have an inner voice. And we're supposed to listen. Say listen. We're supposed to heed. Say heed. That inner voice. And do what that inner voice is calling us, is speaking to us to do. Wisdom cries aloud, the Bible says. Wisdom is always speaking to you. You know whether it's wise or not to go out for a drink with a hunk. You know, married people, you know whether or not you're supposed to be having a coffee with that colleague. Are you hearing me? You see, Saul had a destiny. Saul had somewhere great that God wanted him to go. And he missed it. And you know what we can do? We can look at all the excuses. Yes, he was insecure. He was. Yes, he was afraid of people. Well, it's all there in the Bible. But you know what? The excuses don't in any way change the fact that when God gives us an instruction, he wants us to say, yes, sir. Turn to your neighbor and say, yes. He wants us to fully obey. The Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land, the good of the land. What does that mean? It means you're going to have the best possible coming your way if you obey. Are you hearing me? You know, there are rewards for people who just do what God has called them to do. You know, there are two words in the Bible that mean disobedience. One is in the Old Testament, one is in the New. One of them is a word mara, the Hebrew. And it means to rebel. Say rebel. Rebel. In other words, you see, it's easier to say, well, I didn't quite fully obey. No, God's saying, and he said in this passage to Saul, he said, you were rebelling. You know, that really helped me. To realize that if I don't heed what God's saying to me, then I'm not somehow in some sort of partial fudgy grey state of, you know, well, I don't fully want to obey my husband today because he's being unreasonable. No, I'm in rebellion. Ah, turn to your neighbor and go, ouch. Husbands, when you know that you're not fully loving your wife, because do you know what? Maybe you even think you married the wrong woman. Do you know what? God is able to change anyone. So even if you married the wrong woman, you need to love her anyway. It doesn't say husband love the wives that you were supposed to marry in the first place. If you married her, it's time to love her. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things the Lord showed me about our son, you know, in regard to Benji, is you see, our job as parents, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, how can a man or a woman really learn to obey God if they've never learned to obey their parents? You know, we have a responsibility. And you know, part of that is learning when to say, God, I can't do this. Lord, I need you to do a work in them. You know, and I felt God's been saying to me about Ben, you know what? Just leave him in my hands. It's all well. He's just got to learn a bit of focus, really, that boy. Now, goodness, he's 13. So a bit of focus. Like, get over it, Joe. Do you understand? You know, but other times, God's saying that if you won't teach your children how to respect and obey you as parents, they are going to struggle. Say struggle. They're going to struggle to respect and obey God. Some of you, you've never, ever, ever had problems obeying, and it's because you learned to obey as a child. Others of you, you're saying, I'm a rebel by nature. Look back to your childhood. That rebellion was born at a young age. And for some of us, it's because, you know, of the type of upbringing we had, where we never really knew that we were loved. And maybe you were overly disciplined with a harshness, you know, or maybe you had no boundaries set around and you just ran that house. Either way, God wants to do a work in your heart so that you can obey as an adult, so that you can get it right now. He is the one who's able to change hearts. He is the heart knower and the heart changer. I love the fact, you know, if God can change a man who is bloodthirsty, carnal, and just generally not spiritual, like Esau, changed his heart so much that when he eventually saw the brother he wanted to kill, when he eventually saw him, said, not only am I going to welcome you back with open arms, but I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. Are you hearing me? If God can change Esau, you know, you're no problem. You're sitting in the right place at the right time, and God says, I can do it for you. You know, if you know you're someone that you just want to do things your own way, let me tell you, the Bible says that if you will obey, and I'll get to the scripture, but if you will obey, it will go well with you. Amen. Do you know, some of you, you look at your lives and say, everything seems to be so difficult. You know, and sometimes we go through seasons like that because God's training us. But other times, it's nothing to do with that. It's that where scripture says forgive, you won't forgive. You know, the Bible tells us to forgive and to bless our enemies. The Bible tells us to humble ourselves and be like a servant. And then we're thinking, everywhere I go, people treat me like a slave. And you go, hang on a minute. Yeah. You know, when we actually start to believe, do you know, I am a servant, then we can be, I often say it to my husband, when I'm in the middle of something, he says, go do this. He does it on purpose to me. Don't get wrong about this man. He is the best trainer I have ever, ever had. I'll be in the middle of something, and he'll say, go do this. And I literally let the words come out of my mouth, because it helps me. I'm a servant. So yes, I'm going to go do it now. I'm an obeyer. I'm a submitter. So I'm going to go do it now. You know, when God asks you to do something, it's for the good and glory of Jesus, but it's also for your own good. You know, and this thing about Saul, you know, he used every excuse under sun. He said, oh, well, I have done the obeyed. Yeah, I haven't slept with my girlfriend. Yeah, we might lie in the same bed together. We go to bed together and I take my clothes. But I've never scissors. Are you hearing me? You know, there are things that aren't explicit in the Bible. I mean, there's enough explicit, actually, about that. But we can't be saying, I am obeying, when we know in our hearts we're not. Oh, well, I do submit to my husband. I just, like, make faces behind his back when he's not looking. This man you've given me. No, submission is a heart attitude. Are you hearing me? It's when we say, I'm going to come under this person's mission. I'm going to make it my mission to make their mission come to pass. Wives, make it your mission to enable your husbands to fulfill their mission. There's nothing more glorious. You know, and this is where it's a heart thing. Obedience is of the heart. It's not of the lips. Hallelujah. You know, at the end of this passage that we read, in verse 23. It says, because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he also has rejected you as king. Now listen, it doesn't say he's rejected you. Are you hearing me? God will forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's a forgiving God. He didn't reject Saul, but he said, sorry, mate, you've lost the job. You know, it wasn't a question of whether he was going to get to heaven. In this verse here, it was a question of whether he was going to get to fulfill the very mandate of God on his life. You know, you and I, we have a mandate. You and I, we have a purpose for being on planet Earth. You and I have something to do. You know, and God will never, ever reject us. But there's times when, you know, even there's times when I'm ministering and then suddenly the Lord quickens my heart and says, your motive there is wrong. And because your motive's wrong, I'm having to use you. Are you hearing me? I'm using you because you're here. But I saw that motive in your heart just now. And so I say, God, please change my heart. I want you to be, you see, I want God to say over every single one in this house today, I am so glad that I put every single gift on the inside of you. I'm so glad that I anointed you. I'm so glad because not only do I get to have eternity with you, he's a father first. He's your daddy first. He loves you first. He loves you first and last and everything in between. Are you hearing me? But he also wants you to be your best. He wants you to have that experience of fulfilling the purpose that God has put on your life. But for that, there has to be that decision to say, I'm not going to anymore partially obey. I'm going to fully obey. I'm going to finish with a story. You know, recently I was at a meeting and kind of a little bit about me. Recently I've started to really like clothes, thanks to Ruth. Her fault. So she introduced colour to my life. When I first met Ruth, I always wore black, beige and white. And the odd bit of navy, she says, yeah. And Ruth made it her mission to introduce me to colour. So now you get, you know, full colour. I'm colour TV instead of black and white. And just recently, I used to hate shopping. I just wasn't interested. And then suddenly I kind of, you know, after 20 years living with this man, or 19 years, I suddenly kind of caught his appetite. You know, and I started to like, it's literally the first time. So it's very recent. I thought, oh, I quite like shopping and I like finding things and picking them out. And so anyway, I was very blessed on my birthday. And the two teams gave me some money and I was like, yes, I can go shopping. And not only that, I actually had the confidence to go into shop and pick out what I thought was nice. And I didn't have three people saying, yeah, well done, that's okay, because I just didn't really know what looked okay before. And anyway, now I kind of think, well, if you don't like it, unless you're him, I don't mind anyway. But I've spent some of the money, and then I'm sitting in a meeting. And you see, I don't really have my own money, because anything that God gets to me, God has given me a very, very clear instruction to lay it at the feet of the apostle. So if I go out and minister, I bring it straight back. And God has done that. He's made that a very clear instruction. So anything that's given to me, and because he's good with money, you understand? He knows, and so God's just doing me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, God does lots of favors. And but then if someone gives me like a gift for my birthday, it's mine. Do you hear me? It's mine to go spend. So I was like, you know, a little kid at Christmas, you know, because I've never valued it before. Now I do. And off I went shopping, and I bought some new bits, including this little top, including my shoes. And then I'm sitting in a meeting, and God said, give me the rest. Now, I've learned to be quick to obey, even when it hurts. I'm finishing on this for a reason, because I'm talking about the benefits of obedience. I said, all right, Lord. And he told me what to do with it. And then just as I said yes, he said, and that item that you bought, it's not for you. And it was like, you know when you've bought five things and there's one that's like, ah, do you understand that feeling? When I wear that, oh my goodness. You know, and maybe God's saving me from actually thinking, you know, anyway, who knows. And he said, that one's not for you. I was like, ouch. Say, ouch. I said, yes, Lord. But then do you know what he spoke to me? Almost immediately the words yes came out of my mouth. He said, just as I clothe the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, so I, this is God, will clothe you. You see, God is asking you to do things because he wants to bless you. You're looking at a lady that God has said he's going to clothe. Are you hearing me? I don't know what his taste in clothes is like, but I think it's pretty good. You see, God wants you to obey because he wants to bless you. He wants to pour out his abundance into your life. He wants you to know what it is to enjoy being utilized to the full. There's nothing more frustrating than feeling that you're living a dead-end life, going nowhere, going round and round. And God just says, just heed. And I am going to lead you into a place of blessings, of abundance, of destiny. And you will give so much thanks and praise to me when you get there and on the way. Why don't you rise to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It says in 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 12, it says, the hand of the Lord was on Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey. You know, he doesn't ask us to do this in our own strength. He just wants us to want it. There are so many areas in my life where I tried and tried and tried to get it right, and I fell flat on my face again and again. But eventually, it reached a point where the desire in me to be right with God met with the grace of God to make it happen, the enabling power of God to make it happen in my heart and life. If you would just shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you've listened to this message and you know that God's speaking to you about an area which you've struggled with, or just about a general level of just daily obedience, right now, just tell the Lord in your heart as you stand in his presence, Father, I want to obey you. I choose to obey you. Right now, just in this place, I choose to obey you. I choose to do what's right. I will be a quick to do hearer of the word. I will not be one who hears and for a moment has a willing heart and then turns around and goes my own way. I will do what you're calling me to do. And Father, I pray that your hand, if that's you, you're just saying, I want to obey. I need help to obey. Just lift up your hands in God's presence, both of them, as like a sign of surrender. And Father, I pray for everyone whose hands are raised in this place. May your hand be upon my brothers and sisters and upon me. I need your help, Lord. May your hand be upon us to give us the singleness of heart that we need, to give us the ability, to give us that submissive heart that just says, yes, Lord, what's the question? Father, may we be those who say yes before you've even finished telling us what it is you want us to do. Father, that we may be able to bring glory to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I speak your blessing over each one. And I pray that in this house you would raise up an army of people who say, yes, sir. An army of people who are quick to respond, quick to do, quick to obey. That you would find people that you can use to get this city, this nation, and the nations of the world transformed into your glory. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.